Good Monday morning. Welcome back to Clear Text. I'm Alex Chen alongside Jordan Reeves. We've got a packed show today. The OpenAI hack is making waves and raising fundamental questions about AI vendor risk. We've got a critical ADCS vulnerability with a public exploit that should have your teams moving this morning. There's a Java JSON bug with potential log4 shell echoes. Ransomware operators are getting better at killing your EDR before you even know they're there. And then autonomous AI agents are showing up not just in the OpenAI breach, but also in a separate espionage campaign against Thailand, plus some interesting movement on the policy side with legacy VPNs. Let's get into it.
Let's start with the OpenAI hack, because this one is genuinely different. TechCrunch is reporting what's being described as an unprecedented breach of OpenAI, and the attack vector was an autonomous AI agent, not a human operator using AI as a tool, an autonomous agent conducting the attack. Hugging Face CEO Clément Delange is publicly calling for radical transparency, saying what OpenAI has disclosed so far isn't enough. His exact words, "The first autonomous agent cyber attack is an unprecedented event. It deserves an unprecedented response."
And he's right. Let's be clear about what this means for our audience. If you're a CISO who has integrated OpenAI APIs into your product stack, into your internal tooling, into your data pipelines, this is a third-party risk event that your board is going to ask about. Probably already has. The question isn't just what happened to OpenAI. The question is, what does it mean that the attacker itself was an autonomous agent? Because that changes the speed, the adaptability, and the scalability of the threat in ways that traditional incident response playbooks aren't designed to handle.
And here's what makes this more than a one-off headline. Separately, researchers at The Record are reporting that threat actors used an autonomous AI agent to conduct a cyber espionage campaign against Thailand's Ministry of Finance. Different operation, different target, same paradigm. We now have at least two documented cases of agentic AI being deployed offensively in the wild. This is not a proof of concept at a security conference. This is operational.
So the pattern recognition here is critical. When you see the same novel TTP show up independently in two different campaigns within the same reporting window, that's not coincidence. That's a capability that has proliferated. CISOs need to update their threat models to account for adversaries that can deploy agents that operate autonomously, make decisions, pivot, and persist without a human in the loop for every action. Your red team should be simulating this. Your detection engineering team should be thinking about what autonomous agent behavior looks like on a network versus a human operator.
And the Thailand case is interesting because of the target selection. Finance ministries hold economic intelligence that's extraordinarily valuable for state-level actors. Trade data, budget allocations, monetary policy deliberations. The fact that an AI agent was the tool of choice tells you these actors have confidence in the capability. They're not experimenting, they're deploying.
Let's stay on the geopolitical thread. Jordan, what do you make of the Telesham campaign?
This is Zscaler Threat Labs reporting on an East Asia-linked threat actor targeting Middle East government entities with three previously undocumented malware families, Telesham, Mixed Key, and Bindcloak. The interesting tradecraft here is the C2 channel. They're using Telegram. And this is a trend we've been watching for a while, but it keeps evolving. Telegram is allowed through most enterprise firewalls. It's encrypted. The traffic blends perfectly with legitimate use. Your SOC isn't flagging Telegram connections as suspicious because half your workforce is using it.
And this is the fundamental challenge with legitimate platform of use for C2. You can't just block Telegram in most environments without a business conversation. So the detection has to move to behavioral analysis. What does anomalous Telegram API usage look like from an endpoint? What are the patterns of data exfiltration that differ from a human chatting with colleagues? This is where your threat hunting team earns its keep.
Three new malware families in a single campaign also tells you the development pipeline behind this actor is well-resourced. They're not recycling tools. They're building bespoke capabilities for specific targets. That's a hallmark of a state-backed or state-adjacent operation.
All right, let's pivot to the two vulnerability stories because both of them demand action this morning. Jordan, start with Certighost.
CVE-2026-54121, dubbed Certighost. It's a critical privilege escalation flaw in Active Directory services. A proof-of-concept exploit was released publicly over the weekend. Successful exploitation gives you full Active Directory domain takeover. Authentication, encryption, signing, everything that touches your PKI is compromised. If you're running ADCS on Windows Server, and the vast majority of enterprises are, this is an emergency patch priority.
I want to underscore something here. The POC is public. That means the exploitation timeline just collapsed from weeks to days or hours. You do not have the luxury of putting this into a normal patch cycle. This is a break glass situation. Your AD team, your PKI team, and your security operations team need to be aligned on this today. check your ADCS configurations, apply the patch, and monitor for exploitation indicators immediately. If you're in a change freeze window, get an exception. Full domain takeover is not a risk you sit on.
And ADCS vulnerabilities have a nasty characteristic. They're often invisible to traditional endpoint detection because they exploit legitimate certificate enrollment processes. The attack looks like normal PKI operations until you own the domain.
Second vulnerability, Jordan, the Java JSON bug.
Risky Business is reporting an RCE vulnerability in a widely used Java JSON library that's about to be formally disclosed. Details are still emerging, but the early signal is that this has broad enterprise exposure. Java-based infrastructure is everywhere. Middleware, SaaS backends, financial transaction systems, API gateways. The bulletin is drawing explicit parallels to Log4Shell. And while I think we should be cautious about that comparison until we see the full scope, the underlying concern is valid. If this library is as widely embedded as early reports suggest, the attack surface could be enormous.
My advice to CISOs this morning? Don't wait for the full disclosure. Start your software inventory now. Identify where Java JSON libraries are deployed in your environment, including in third-party applications and SaaS dependencies. Get your application security team and your vendor management team ready to move the moment the CVE and patch are formally published. The organizations that had a Log4j inventory before Log4Shell hit were the ones that slept that week. Everyone else didn't.
Now let's connect some dots on the EDR story, because I think this is actually the most strategically important theme of the day for security leaders. Halcyon's Q2 2026 ransomware report documents a significant increase in EDR kill techniques. Ransomware groups are systematically disabling endpoint detection before deploying payloads. At the same time, Airlock Digital's co-founders are talking about how attackers are using LLMs to reverse engineer EDR detection logic at machine speed. What used to take months of manual reversing can now be done by burning tokens.
So let's put this together. Your EDR, which is probably the single most invested in detection layer in your stack, is being attacked from two directions simultaneously. Operationally, ransomware groups are killing the agent before it can alert. And strategically, adversaries are using AI to map your detection rule sets so they know exactly what to avoid. This is a fundamental challenge to the defense in depth model, as most organizations have implemented it.
The Halcyon data is also showing something counterintuitive. Overall ransomware volume is declining, but sophistication is increasing. Fewer attacks, but each one is harder to detect and more likely to succeed. That's a worse risk profile, not a better one. If your board is looking at declining attack volume and feeling comfortable, you need to correct that narrative.
And the practical implication is that EDR cannot be your single point of reliance. You need compensating controls. Application allow listing, network segmentation, identity-based detection, integrity monitoring on the EDR agents themselves. If your EDR goes silent, what's your next detection layer? If the answer is nothing, you have a problem.
The LLM angle is particularly concerning because it democratizes what was previously an elite capability. Reverse engineering EDR products used to require specialized skills and significant time investment. Now it requires an API key and some patience. The asymmetry has shifted, and your EDR vendor's detection logic should be assumed to be known to sophisticated adversaries.
Last story before we look ahead. Senator Wyden is formally urging federal agencies to retire legacy public-facing VPNs, citing devastating accumulated attacks. Jordan, quick take.
This is congressional pressure reinforcing what CISA has been saying for years about zero trust. Legacy VPNs have been the initial access vector in so many federal breaches that it's almost a cliche at this point. But what matters for our audience is the regulatory signal. When a senator puts this in writing, it accelerates the regulatory timeline. If you have FedRAMP obligations, government contracts, or you're in a regulated industry that tends to follow federal security guidance, your zero trust migration timeline may have just gotten shorter. Plan accordingly.
Agreed. And even if you're not in the federal space, legacy VPN retirement should be on your roadmap. The attack surface is well documented, the alternatives are mature, and the risk of maintaining these systems increases every quarter. All right, let's look ahead. Jordan, what's the thread that ties this week together?
The theme is convergence of AI-powered offense. We have autonomous agents conducting espionage and breaching major AI platforms. We have LLMs being used to systematically deconstruct defensive tooling. And we have the traditional security stack, EDR, VPNs, ADCS, showing its age under pressure from both conventional and AI-accelerated attack techniques. The adversary is getting faster, and the tools we've relied on for a decade are being actively undermined.
And the strategic question for CISOs this week is, where are your assumptions most fragile? If you assumed EDR would catch the ransomware, pressure test that. If you assumed your AI vendor security was sufficient, pressure test that too. If you assumed your ADCS was a quiet, stable piece of infrastructure, it's not anymore. This is a week to challenge your own defense model honestly and act on what you find.
Watch the Java JSON disclosure closely. If the blast radius matches what's being signaled, you'll want to be ahead of it, not reacting to it.
That's our show for Monday, July 27th. Show notes and links to every story we covered today are at cleartext.fm. We'll be back tomorrow. Stay sharp.